B-Pod Studios.
To me, the whole thing with the finger under between the legs, antiquated, archaic.
Oh, it is.
I mean, the whole thing is freaking silly.
Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And now for the Patriots, a first and 15. They've got over 100 yards rushing as we hit the five-minute mark. Stevenson behind Zappe, who turns and play fakes.
He stands in.
He throws it to the right. Parker wide open at the 10, to the 5, to the end zone. Bailey Zappe with his first touchdown pass. And the Patriots regain the lead.
Great, great touch. Shoot the arrows, kid. I just said it before. Parker hasn't had a look yet today. It's a deep drag, and Zappe puts enough touch on over it to get it over that underneath coverage. And it's a great call by Patricia. He's been running, 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 and now we hit him with the deep drag. Wow, we got a game in Lambeau. Good job, kid. Good poise. What poise?
Wow, you can say that again.
I'd be losing
Maybe
my mind.
Maybe even put it into different terms.
You could say what you want about Matt Patricia or the way they're calling plays, but you're down to your third quarterback. You know, Jonnu Smith has now been ruled out, ankle. You're down personnel groupings, and you're mixing and matching your running game. You've got it going. Your linemen are looking to you saying, let's keep it going. You just keep it going with them, and you mix the pass in with it. That was a great, great drive there by Patricia as far as play calling.
Hour two, Felger and Maz, again brought to you by our friends at 128 Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Maz, your thoughts on Bailey Zappe and the play calling there of Matt Patricia, as referenced by Zoe on our call yesterday.
Yeah, all things considered, I give Zappe credit. That's a tough spot, man. Third quarterback, first game, Lambeau Field, like the whole thing. I give Zappe credit. Do I think he's great? No, I don't. I think Patricia did help him out at times. I thought obviously the play calling overall was very conservative. The Patriots only threw 21 passes in the game. I mean, they were 15 for 21. They're two quarterbacks. And frankly, I thought Brian Hoyer looked pretty good before he got hurt. So, you know, overall, I think they did a nice job kind of protecting their quarterback play. But if you're asking me big picture, I'll tell you the one thing that I think could be good. Might be a little bit of a wake-up call for Mac Jones. Like, you know, Zappe got in there, played well. Hoyer looked okay when he was in there. If Mac Jones is feeling his oats and thinks he's got some sort of major leverage, maybe this is a good little kick in the ass.
The play action worked, and considering how they ran the ball, they probably should have done it a little bit more. I get why they wouldn't trust him. He was the emergency quarterback thrown in. No one really expected much, but it was working. And so the one thing, and Joe Murray and I talked about it in the postgame yesterday, I thought was pretty evident, you saw continuity. And you hadn't seen that with Mac Jones, because Mac Jones, I don't think, has liked the operation. He doesn't trust the offensive coordinator and the play caller, and that's Patricia and Judge. And I think there's been pushback since the summer. With Zappe, it's yes, sir, no, sir, what do you need? And it all ran smoother. I thought that was pretty evident.
So, let's pick up our conversation from last week. Brian Hoyer at 100%, Mac Jones at 75%, or Bailey Zappe at 100%. Who do you start this week?
Hoyer.
Zappe.
Hoyer. Hoyer.
I think they get blown out of Hoyer. I know Hoyer looked all right before he got hurt, but he was going to do Hoyer things eventually. He just was. It's just
is that fair?
I'm projecting, but I mean, it was the pants crapping was going to come eventually.
You might be right, Murray. I mean, the odds are in your favor. But he threw a good ball to Aguilar, I thought, early in the game. And there was it his first pass on the right sideline area? Maybe it was an out where I thought he does have a stronger arm than Mac Jones.
Uh-oh. Say that again?
Yeah, Hoyer has a stronger arm than Mac Jones. The ball comes out faster. I mean, and I mean the velocity on the ball, on the throw. Hoyer's got a better arm than Mac Jones. And I'm not telling he's a better quarterback than Mac Jones. But I thought Hoyer looked pretty good in the early part of this game. I was content with the way Hoyer was playing before he gets sacked and knocked out of the game, which didn't really seem like that bad a hit, at least to the head.
Yeah, okay. Post Tua, what do you want?
So now let's go into that topic. Go ahead.
So I think they're being extra careful with these quarterbacks now because all eyes are watching. So my guess is under normal circumstances, Hoyer would have stayed in that game yesterday.
Do we know, because the broadcast certainly didn't focus on it, did someone pull him or did he? I thought I had heard that he walked straight to the blue tent. I think he pulled himself is my guess, and that is without you know, knowing at all because we didn't see it. But I would have thought that if he was wobbly or disoriented or whatever, the camera would have showed us that. I think, I thought someone said it. Maybe Zoe did, that he just walked straight to the blue tent. I think he self-reported. And if he hadn't, I don't know if he would have been spotted. Because as far as I could see, or I haven't heard anyone say that he was really, like, you know.
Woozy.
Yeah.
Like
that, yeah. So I think that started with Brian Hoyer.
But does he get examined right when he goes to the sideline?
Yes, sir. Right in that blue tent. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it was, as we expand this, not that I want to do a lot of this today, but as you expand that broader concussion topic and the protocols and all of this, it's where it starts. I mean, the thing with two weeks ago against Buffalo, it started with him fighting his way back onto the field. They don't diagnose concussions on the sidelines. I don't know if they can. I mean, I guess they could, but that's not what they're doing. They're diagnosing symptoms. So if you can avoid displaying symptoms, you can go back out there with a concussion. You know, the baseline testing, I guess, or whatever it is, you can fudge it. And let's face it, the players want to go back. The coaches want you to go back. And it's probably a low bar. So Tua cleared the low bar 2 weeks ago in Buffalo and was sent back out there. Brian Hoyer, 14 years in the league, very end of his career, has a career in what? I don't know. Coaching, something else coming up. He's got his life to live, his family to raise. He's done making his money playing football. He's, for all intents and purposes, kind of done playing football. He has nothing left to prove, nothing to really gain. He gets his bell rung. No, screw this, man. I'm not throwing myself back out there. Let's go check this out. And if I had to guess, that's where it all started. Now, if someone can tell me that he got pulled by the spotter, then I'll take that all back. They didn't show any footage of it on the sideline.
No, I didn't see sideline footage either. I didn't see any of that at all.
All we saw was him walking off the field eventually.
Right. And the hit.
Yeah.
Right? There was a replay of the hit. Did he even get hit in the head?
No, it was. It was shoulder to head, but I think it was more when he got
driven
there.
Driven in.
No, well, his head whiplash. So you really get it when you whiplash. When you're, you know, Tua, like, head snap back on the turf twice. His snap to the side, and that's really where you get it. And there's nothing your headgear or anything can really do there. That's just... That's a big one.
It's the motion.
It's the motion of it. And there's no doubt that he was concussed, but I tend to think he self-reported, if you will. And he's the one that pulled himself off.
I mean, if he can play Sunday, I want him.
Me too. Me too.
I want him. I don't trust
Zappy. I think it's going to be harder on Zappy this week. I'm sorry to cut you off. It's going to be hard. Even against a bozo franchise and a bozo coach like Detroit, you know, they're not that obtuse. Where if you give them 6 days, I mean, the Packers couldn't figure it out in real time because their coaches just aren't that bright. Okay, but that happened bang, bang. If you gave even LaFleur and his dopey coaches a full week, if suddenly it would occur to them, oh, there's a short rookie fourth-round pick in here? Okay, well, you know, we're going to crowd the line. We're going to throw 8 men in the box. We're going to press the receivers, and we're going to make it hard on the kid. And even Detroit could figure that out. It's going to be a harder goal for Zappy in this next game than it was yesterday.
Well, and the other thing is it has to limit your playbook, right? Like, I would think with Hoyer, you have more options at your disposal in terms of what you can call and what you can't. And I'm not talking about ability. I'm talking about just knowledge. Like, at one point during the broadcast yesterday, Romo said, well, that's just not knowing the play. The kid doesn't know the play. You know, and I went, ooh. Like, really? I guess I didn't factor that in. It makes sense. I mean, but I didn't factor that in. So now what? With a team that has not had a ton of success offensively anyway, now you're going to even limit the playbook further? Like, I'm starting Hoyer.
What if Patricia trusts him a little bit more, though, just to do what he's going to say? Again, I thought that there was real continuity there between the quarterback and the play callers yesterday. And as much as we've dumped on them, and rightfully so, I guess a little bit credit to, like, the kid wasn't panicked. He wasn't a complete puddle out there.
No, I think under the circumstances, he did pretty well.
So I think here's now to the coaches where they deserve the most credit. They had him ready.
They protected him,
They had him ready, and the whole situation wasn't too big for anybody, and, like, they all deserve credit for that. The actual game plan, I mean, it's really not that genius to have a rookie inexperienced quarterback in there and say, run the ball. Like, what is that, really? We're going to go overboard with that? Yeah, run the ball, play close to the vest. I mean, really? Like, that's some sort of masterful thing? Like, stop with this. And when it came time to win the game, were they too conservative? I'm going back and watching these plays right now. You'll be proud of me, Maz. I was actually able to dial up on my phone.
Oh, good job.
Mr. App.
This is progress for Felger right
Look
here.
Look at you troubleshooting.
Right there, yeah. All right. I got the Xfinity stream thing on my phone, and so I've dialed up the plays. As usual with them, there was no motion. There was no...
Simple.
You know, no one came to the other side. On the second run, it might have been a zone running play. Even maybe Bedard can come tell me because the...
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Didn't he kind of reach out?
He did a little bit, and the offside guard kind of came over. He wasn't really pulling, but they were coming over here. So was that second down run even one of those Fakakta zone things? I don't know. It was... I really feel comfortable just saying those two running plays were just straight ahead running plays. There wasn't anything that would misdirection, you know. So it was really conservative. Even the running plays themselves were conservative. Under center, straight ahead, sort of running plays. And, like, that's where you needed to dial something up. And it wasn't even much, just a little something for one first down and the game-winning field goal. And you just slammed it up into the line. I don't give the coaches credit for that. I will give Bill credit. I think he coached his buns off. Like, just for example, there were many times Bill was on his knee talking to Zappi, right? I mean, you could tell immediately. Bill's on his knee, back to the field, fully engaged, offense, managing the young quarterback, really in there. Yet he was still aware enough to run down the sidelines and call timeout and not letting Aaron Rodgers get you with the too many men on the field. So he was really doing everything. He's down there with the quarterback. He's down there with the offense. Oh, Rodgers has the ball. I better be paying attention because my dingbat assistants aren't going to be able to figure this out. He's up on his feet. Rodgers is doing his usual thing with guys running on and off the field about to snap the ball. Bill's the one that runs down the field. So he would, like, talk about stretching yourself thin. But, I mean, I just think he, as a coach, kind of emptied the bucket yesterday until we got to winning the game, and then I thought he tightened up.
Well, that thing with Rodgers and the timeout was noticeable because of what happened last week when they missed the challenge because Bill was on the sideline working with the offense. So, like, I'm sure, you know, I mean, he, you know, not that he heard the criticism of it, but the point is he knew that he missed it.
Well, he also knows Rodgers, that he's got to pay attention.
No, he was ready for it.
He's got to pay attention to Rodgers because that's Rodgers' best third down play, by the way. That stupid thing. So, like, Bill deserved, they coached their butts off. But make no mistake, they could have won that game. They probably should have won that game, and they tightened.
So when you say they coached their butts off, though, you mean they worked hard?
Yeah. Yes, I think they worked hard. I think they had everybody ready. The buy-in that we were worried about with this team, I think, showed itself. I think the players are bought in. You know, they could have easily packed it in with a third-string quarterback, and they didn't.
No, that looked like a real team yesterday.
Like, all those were good, positive things.
This is why I said I feel better about them now than I did 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but I'm not doing backflips. I mean, you got the ball midfield in overtime, and you tighten up and lose the game. That's kind of a layup situation.
No, so that, look, like I said, when I saw the word masterful used in the game plan, I went, masterful? What, because you got some bum quarterback in there, basically? You decided to run the ball and play defense?
Okay, who do you got starting this week as well? We'll get your calls on all that right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
He doesn't ask much of the audience.
Okay, but play with me.
Except to love him.
The worst sign in New England sports is you.
Mass. The quiet half of Felger and Mass. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think we all know what a backup quarterback's potential job and role is. Bailey knows it. We know it. And everybody who plays that position knows it. So, you know, that's what happened. And he stepped in. He was well prepared. I thought generally handled himself well. Certainly things he can improve on, you know, we'll work on. But. But he did a, you know, a solid job.
So that was Belichick this morning on Zappi. Want to hear from the young man himself? Zappi on, I can't remember what the hell this is about. This is him in the post game, maybe about, well, I don't even know what it is. Go ahead, just run it. Let's hear what the kid sounds like.
course, it was exciting at first. It was a dream come true to play in an NFL game. You know, it's obviously not the outcome we wanted at all. I just want to first, like, give credit to all my teammates. They kept me calm. They kept me, you know, getting the nerves out of me. You know, they kept me in my space and cool, calm, and collected. And, you know, everybody played well tonight. O-line played well. We ran the ball well. You know, it really just comes down to me. I just got to make more plays, and the outcome's differently.
So what I find most interesting is that Kendrick Bourne said he got 50% of the reps last week. And Ted Johnson pointed this out. He felt that the coverage of Zappe and the background on Zappe was really thorough by the broadcast team, to the point where Johnson, you know, wonders if during the production meetings and everything that they made a point to really give him a lot of stuff on Zappe because you might see this kid. In other words, they were less than certain of Brian Hoyer and they had Zappe ready, concussion or not.
Smart. Yeah, smart. And I would tell them the same thing going forward, by the way. So just as we talk about the game coming up this week, if Jones can't go, I say you start Hoyer. But same deal, man. You got to be ready to have this guy to go in if it's not working.
And either they really like Zappe and, you know, sort of had it of their mind that at the first chance we're going to put him in there anyway. Or they just learned their lesson from Hoyer in Kansas City and said, this guy craps his pants again. We got to have the other guy ready to go.
Could be that.
Well, not only that, what's his commitment? So you were thinking that maybe he pulled himself after the
Hoyer did, yes.
Yeah. So a guy that is like, oh, F this, I'm at the end of my career anyway, that might not want to be there. Why would you want to put him out there rather than the kid who would be probably pumped to be starting?
Well, I don't know if it's, I don't know if they could have projected Hoyer's feelings on his concussion. And I'm just guessing on the concussion thing. That
I'm just saying for this week against Detroit, if Mac Jones ain't ready to go.
So I think that's, well, now looking forward, Murray, I think you're absolutely right. If the Patriots look at Hoyer and say, well, you know, he's going to be really careful with his health. And good for him. That's no knock on Brian Hoyer. But if that's how it's going to be, if this isn't a guy, if this is a guy that isn't going to fake his way onto the field and he's really tenuous to be on the field, how can we rely on him to play this game? And again, that's not a criticism on Hoyer. It's just a practical, the Pats have to really think of that.
I think they got to think of everything.
The first hard hit, Hoyer's coming out. You know, can we go with that?
Yes, they have to have all that ready to go. Like, again, I give him credit if he did, in fact, have 50% of the practice reps. That makes all the sense in the world. This kid's got to be ready. Like, look, we'll see what happens with Jones this week. My guess is, you know, he'll make an effort. A good one is really what I should say. And practice and everything else.
And I'm sorry, you just said Mac Jones?
Yeah, Mac Jones.
Yeah.
Like, my guess is Jones is going to make a good effort to be out on the field on Sunday. Like, I would guess that the Patriots think that there's a decent chance of that happening. And so, but if it's not...
Mac Jones at 75% or Bailey Zappe at 100%?
Jones.
Mac Jones.
Zappe.
Zappe.
Mac Jones.
Zappe. Jones. I'm not there with Zappe. Zappe's, I'm not.
Here's a prediction. Zappe's going to get his lunch handed to him next week if he plays. He's going to get his lunch handed
that
to
Detroit
him.
That Detroit team just got shredded by Geno Smith for like 350 yards.
I didn't say he was going to lose.
Geno Smith's played well. He has. He has, Murray.
At least, look, it's his. He got thrown in, so you're not going to see this anyway. But Mac Jones, what are we? The histrionics, like, oh, looking at the timeout, pissed. Oh, do I? Bailey Zappe's yes sir, no sir, what do you need me to do? Who do you think the coaches would probably prefer? If you're Matt Patricia and you're now the offensive play caller, who would you rather deal with? Baby boy? What are we? Timeout. What am I? Or what do you need? Okay. All right. Yeah, yes sir, no sir. Okay, I'll go right there. Play action? Yep, you got it. You want me to run it 50 times? Okay, I'll hand off. Whatever you need, sir. They would probably prefer Bailey Zappe.
That right there is a real world reenactment right there, folks. Excellent. Brad in Manchester, New Hampshire. Go ahead, Brad.
Hey, Felger, Maz, and Murray, how you doing? I just wanted to talk. Listen, the NFL is a quarterback-driven league. And if you don't have a superstar at that position, you're probably not going to win. Now, I know that last year Matthew Stafford was an outlier, but he even has thrown for – over 5,000 yards.
He's a good player, Brad. Stafford's a good player. Go ahead.
Where is this quarterback situation going? Like, the outlook 2-3 months from now? Like, I don't see it. Zappe?
Well, let me just stop you. I mean, we're just talking about this week in the Lions, first things first. But if you want to expand it out, are any of these guys the guy? Are they in a spot where no matter how this all shakes out, it's still not good enough?
Maybe. I mean, maybe. But what's your best shot? Jones.
Yeah.
Jones is your best shot. This kid's 6'1". And I bet that that's with heels on. Because watching him behind that line yesterday, he's tiny.
He does look a little wee.
He is tiny. He's whittle.
Mary Manchester. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mike. Hi, guys. So I found the game hugely entertaining yesterday, and I was very impressed with Zappe. I mean, I would start Zappe over Hoyer, but I don't know that I'd start him over Mac Jones. But I was watching the game thinking, I wonder if Mac Jones is a little nervous right now because, you know, you got to think, here's Zappe, the third-string guy, going out there, whipping it all over the field against, you know, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, giving them a run for their money. So I'm just thinking that, you know, the longer he stays out, I mean, he is kind of at risk, I think, that of losing his job. I know he doesn't have the same skill set as Mac Jones, but don't you think the longer he stays out doesn't bode well for him?
Do we think Mac Jones is nervous?
Nervous is too strong, but do I think that some little sleeper insecurity cell in the back of his brain got triggered over the weekend? Yeah. I think it's natural for anyone to go.
Remember.
I hope so.
Mouthpiece. I think he would be. Mouthpiece of Bill Belichick. Mike Lombardi said last week he was at the risk of losing his job. Now, at the time, we thought that that might have been overdramatic for Michael Lombardi, but Sienna's had the young players especially rallied around Zappe yesterday and the continuity you saw at the offense. Is that far-fetched? I don't think so. If I'm him, I'm sweating a little bit.
I don't think Jones is at the stage where he has this, like, you know, safety net. I just don't think he's at that stage. And I don't mean him. I mean from the organization standpoint. I wouldn't have it that way. I don't want the kid looking over his shoulder per se. But in the same breath, like what? Mid-first round pick? All of a sudden, no matter what happens, you get your job back?
Yeah, I mean, I would hope that he's feeling it.
He should be feeling it.
If he's not feeling it, then he's sort of entitled. Like, this is my job. I got nothing to worry about. Like, I would hope he doesn't feel that way.
Mike, they've played 4 games. There was one in which they did not throw an interception. Who didn't play?
Him.
Okay. So, like, if I'm Bill, I'm starting there. At least they protected the football, Mac.
I would also say how it looks in practice would be a big thing, because Mac would know. Like, for example, part of the reason Brady was so territorial with Garoppolo is that he knew Garoppolo, you know, earned the coach's trust in practice and looked good in practice and, you know, like that thing. So if Bailey Zappi's really a factor behind the scenes, then Mac would know it. But either way, you would hope that he would feel that he has to still show something, that the job just isn't his because he's a first-round pick. That would be a horrible attitude for Mac Jones to have. We played you some quotes just there from Bill and Bailey Zappe. I'm going to give you the quote of the day yesterday in Green Bay. Coming up right after Murray, get you updated. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The most popular afternoon radio show in Boston.
I don't want to know what this means.
Felger and Mass.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do know what you're talking about.
I don't even know what I'm talking about. Like, what? I don't know what that is.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now 3rd down and 9. Rodgers fires to the near side. Done. Intercepted along the near sideline. Jack Jones to the 20, to the 10. Pick 6. And a lead for the Patriots.
What did we just say about Rodgers? He is off today. And he throws an errant ball into the right flat off the back foot. And what? It's feast or famine. And man, did he feast here. Did Jack Jones with the pick 6 in his rookie debut, his first start in an NFL game. Good for him.
Forced fumble, a recovered fumble, and an interception returned for a touchdown.
Wow. What a bad throw by Rodgers. He jumped this man. I mean, back foot planted, read the route, knew it was an out. Better get ready for the double move in the second half because he's sitting on routes and, oh, man.
Personally, I feel like it's disrespectful to throw an out route on me. If you could throw the ball past me to get to the receiver, I'm no good.
Quote of the day, by far. Rookie, Jack Jones. Personally, I feel it's disrespectful to throw an out route on me.
It's a great line.
Wow.
Wow. Personally, I feel it's disrespectful to throw an out route on me. He says to one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Seriously, don't get beat on any of those then for however long you stay in the league.
But that's what you want out of a cornerback, absolutely, right? Cockiness, swagger. This kid's got it in spades.
Oh, my God. He does. I liked him in the preseason. I'm taking credit for Jack Jones. I liked him in the preseason. He's got good ball skills. So I have one criticism. Every freaking play, he goes after the ball. To the point where, like, there was one where he was trying to strip the ball while the guy carried him about 6 yards.
I think that might have been the overtime play where Dobbs ran him over.
Holy crap. It's like, dude, what are you doing? Like, once the guy catches it, can you tackle him, please? Please get him to the ground. So I love the ball hawking. I do. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. And I think the kid can play. But holy crap, like, at some point, you do have to tackle somebody.
Personally, I feel it's disrespectful to throw an out route on me. Like, they disrespected him by running that route.
He was disrespectful. That was disrespectful.
That's a great line. And good day for the rookies overall. Zappe, Strange, both Joneses.
Yeah, Marcus Jones is good in this game, too.
Great returning by Marcus Jones. Good day for the rookies. Okay, could that be looking up? That's something to feel okay about.
Yes.
Alan, and we
see,
will.
See, I told you.
Yes, we will allow it for a brief moment. But now back to the matter at hand, the loss. Alan Rivera, go ahead, Al.
Very positive by nature.
Hi, how you doing? I just want to say I agree with everything you said. The defense was too conservative. Offense was too conservative. And I just want to say, today reminds me of, remember the Holy Cross game back in 69 where they won but they really tied?
No.
It has that kind of feel to it.
Okay, that's not what I was thinking, but either way.
Wise ass.
Is he trolling us? I don't know. I can't. I don't do sarcasm. I don't know. You might be serious, Colin.
The Holy Cross in 69?
Listen, they were definitely way too conservative on both sides of the ball when it came to winning the game. First and 10 at your 49 in overtime. And then second and 5 at the 46, you're right there. And you just slam it up into the line because you were still managing your young quarterback. At that point, it was the managing of the quarterback was kind of over, and it was time to go win a game. And they weren't bold enough to go win the game. And defensively, the same thing. Defensively, you had him pinned on their 9, and you let him drive all the way down the field. And you also got run on, if we're being honest.
Oh, they got gashed.
Packers ran it right down your throat, especially when it mattered most on that final drive. And, by the way, in the red zone, Packers were 3-for-3 after the Ravens were 5-for-5. So when it came to you want to talk about the broad, sort of broad themes of the team, I can see why you feel okay. You had a game you should have won, and you didn't win it. So I don't have any moral victories on that one. Danny and Waltham, go ahead, Danny.
Yeah, I was disappointed with their offensive approach in overtime. And sort of similar to Mac Jones last year against Tampa Bay, I just think at that point in the game, you shouldn't be worried about, like, sheltering or your young quarterback. Like, he had done enough. He'd already had a representative good game. But if I'm being honest, the main reason I just wanted them to keep pushing and going for it, especially on fourth, is I cannot stand, and I know this is petty, I cannot stand the modern young NFL head coach, when you're at home, all they do on defense is try to pump up their crowd like a cheerleader. And it's just the most disgraceful look. And I'm sure you can relate to it or relate to hating it. I just can't stand that image of Matt LaFleur. He's not the only one, but I hate it.
Dude, coach your team.
He's a tool.
Coach your team.
That whole thing with the crowd, he was doing the game I went to out there last year, he was doing the same bull crap.
Pumping them up. It's a bad look.
Seriously, with his closely cropped eyebrows and the whole 9 yards. That guy is a freaking tool bag.
Spoon, as
big
you would
time.
Say.
Big time.
Coach your effing team. You're so worried about the crowd and, like, what are you doing? Why don't you coach? Why don't you coach as opposed to cheerleading? And the Packers, I'll give you a whole segment on them here coming up. They're just so soft and loose and not well coached around the fringes of a lot of things. They're well schemed, certainly on offense, but they're just so not well coached in so many sort of smaller areas. And it's because he's not a head coach. He's not a head coach. He's just another one of these McVay guys who has the scheme and can implement the scheme and is good in that. Certainly is, no doubt about it. But when it comes to actually coaching the game, no, sir.
the cheerleader. Richie in Maine. Go ahead, Richie. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Great football game to watch yesterday. Not great play, but great to watch. But what ruined it for me was this display. Oh, it's despicable. Rodgers and Belichick back and forth, huggy, kissy, kissy before and after the game and the post game. Rodgers is the biggest tool in the whole NFL. And Belichick knows this. So I was thinking, what is it in for Belichick? I think it's really twofold. One, it's his way of getting Rodgers, one of the greatest ever, to get on a podium and say, I have a tough time beating Bill. He got to Rodgers in the first half. You could tell. The second thing, and more importantly, is Belichick wants us to know he thinks that he would have won 10 Super Bowls if he had Aaron Rodgers and instead of Brady and what have you. He really wants to say, if somebody pressed him and said, who ordered the code red, Bill? He'd say, I could win with this guy. I would have won more.
Okay, so what's the angle here with Bill and Rodgers?
Well, some of it is to just tweak Brady. Some of it is. I also wonder, Rodgers has such a freaking massive ego that I wonder if Bill plays to it a little bit. Like, you know, again, Rodgers sucked yesterday for a good chunk of that game. So part of me wonders whether Bill just lavishes him with praise and, you know, doesn't get his antenna up and gives him everything he wants to hear. But, you know, don't misunderstand me. Some of it is there were little digs at Brady in there somewhere.
He's just so good.
Yeah, I mean, he respects him as a player and he, you know, thinks the world of him and can't shut up about him. I also wonder if he also respects his, like, way of thinking and, like, the QAnon Aaron Rodgers stuff. Like, Bill, I bet Bill likes that kind of stuff and, like, his pushback towards the league, Bill's pushback towards the league. So he probably respects him for that, too. Oh, you speak your mind. I love that.
I mean, Mike, that comment of, like, you know, just too much Aaron Rodgers and, you know, when we face him in the decision, he made the right ones as usual. Like, as usual? Like, he never makes a bad decision?
Has he been in the playoffs?
That throw to Jack Jones was a freaking piece of crap. That was a crap throw. That was an absolute freaking crap throw. And I don't even know who the receiver was who fell on his ass. Might have been a bad route. Maybe he fell down.
It was Lazard.
It was a horrible throw. Horrible. Like Mickey Mouse rookie throw.
So I think part of it is Bill's a star bleeper and Rodgers is a star. But, you know, Bill's carried on about Aaron Rodgers more than he has about Patrick Mahomes or some other guys you could think of.
Josh Allen.
For sure, Josh Allen. Absolutely. I also think it is, there's something Brady in there, you know, because Rodgers is really the last contemporary of Brady or the last guy you would have some sort of argument who's better, Rodgers or Brady. Like, that's the last, I think that's the last peer of Brady who's left. If you think about it, I don't know, who's the next oldest guy? Russell Wilson? I mean, I don't know, but it's like Rodgers. Like, that's the only guy left. You used to argue Brady Manning, Brady Breeze, Brady Rivers, Brady Roethlisberger. Aaron Rodgers is the last guy there. So I wonder if that's part of it, another way for Bill to tweak Brady. But it is. Boy, the irony. You know, we view Bill as a guy that thinks he can win with just any quarterback. Any good quarterback. He doesn't need the best of the best, or he didn't need Brady. He could have won with other guys. Now he comes out of a close loss in Green Bay and says Aaron was just too good. He made some throws that only Rodgers can make. But yeah, it's pretty good coverage on some of those, and he was just too smart, too good, too accurate. In the end, he got us. We couldn't do quite enough in the other areas to offset it. Aaron got us on too many things. I thought we did a good job on him, but there was just enough for him to take advantage of or make a couple great throws that we couldn't quite cover. That was the difference. Like, my God. And again, something he never has said publicly about Tom Brady. I mean, let me just change the name here. And has Bill ever come out of a game, a Patriots win, with Tom Brady as his quarterback and said, in the end, Brady was just too good. He made some throws that only Tom can make. They had some pretty good coverage on some of those, and Brady was just too smart, too good, too accurate. In the end, Brady got them. They just couldn't quite do enough in the other areas to offset it. Tom just got them and got us in too many things. I thought they did a pretty good job on him, but there was just enough for Brady to take advantage of or make a couple of great throws that they couldn't quite cover. He was the difference. Did he ever do that with Brady?
No, and in fact, to Murray's point, or maybe you said about Mahomes, I can't remember him ever talking about anybody like that. Did he ever talk about Peyton Manning like that?
Trying to think.
Not like that.
It's annoying.
Like, you know, for a guy that just hasn't won. I mean, why don't you do that with someone who wins? I don't know. Why would you pick this guy who doesn't win? Like, that aggravates me.
He's just so good.
The overrating of Aaron Rodgers includes your guy. But that Brady's, you know, Brady's mixed in there somewhere.
Oh, for sure.
Long commercial-free segment is next. A couple of things that really bug me about the game coming up.
He's just...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What kind of hard-hitting analysis can you expect from Felger and Mass this football season?
It's going to be a stupid off.
Felger and Mass, 95, the Sports Hub.
Right now, the ball at the 40-yard line. It's a third down and 8. Snap to Rodgers, dropping back. He lobs a throw deep down the right side for Dobbs. Has a step on Jones. Touchdown, Green Bay.
There's your answer.
No, the ball's loose. They say it's incomplete.
Wow.
He did not complete the catch.
You gotta be kidding me.
The officials, two officials converge. They each say incomplete.
It's incomplete. It hit the ground. It came out at the end.
The ball through the hands of Romeo Dobbs in the eyes of the officials.
All you gotta do is look at Dobbs. Dobbs knows it. There's no reaction from Dobbs here. The player always tells you. Oh, what a throw. What a dime by Rodgers. Ball's out and he hits it.
And now after the initial
Green Bay is challenging the ruling on the field.
Bill Belichick, I ran on the far side.
If you do it frame by frame by frame by frame, it looks like a touchdown. You let it play out, it looks like a drop. Not a drop, but not completing the catch. And you tell me what catch stratosphere we're in now, because I really don't even understand the rules anymore.
After review, the receiver did not maintain control of the ball. Incomplete pass. The ruling on the field stands.
Wow.
Nice challenge by the coach, don't you think?
Horrendous.
Oh, awful.
You understand how important that was, don't you?
Explain.
Okay, well. So the Packers, so it's incomplete, clearly incomplete, obviously incomplete. Packers burned a timeout on the challenge. Stupid challenge. Even LaFleur admitted after the game, his guy upstairs, the eye in the sky, told him, don't challenge it. And he did. He said, I got emotional. Meaning the crowd was probably chanting, challenge it. And the dummy threw the flag. That cost him a timeout. All right. Packers ended up punting, right? Pinned the Patriots inside their 5-yard line. And they got him to punt out of their own end zone with what was 14 seconds left on the clock. If they had one more timeout, that's 54 seconds on the clock, and Rodgers has time for a couple of plays to set up a field goal.
Good point.
That's it. Simple situational football. This is where the Packers are completely lost, and I don't care how good LaFleur is or his one loss record is or his, you know, that offensive scheme, which he has down, obviously. You have to coach the team and the game. So that situation, soup to nuts. He burns that timeout on a replay that has no chance, that cost him two or three extra plays at the end of the game that could have gotten him into field goal range. Furthermore, even with that, you still had the Patriots punting from their goal line. The call to the punt team there, the punt coverage team, the punt return team is no penalties. No penalties. You're still going to get the ball right around midfield. He'll have a chance to chuck it into the end zone. And as you've seen over the years, Rodgers can do that. Throws a pretty good jump ball down there. But the dummy commits a blocking in the back penalty right in front of the whole stadium, if you saw the replay. And now Aaron can't throw it into the end zone, and they tried some sort of hook and ladder thing, and that was it. So if you have command of the situation there, you're preserving your timeouts, and then you as the head coach are walking over to the punt return team or the special teams coach, and you're saying, no penalties. No penalties. Just fair catch the thing. You don't need to block anybody. Fair catch it at the 50 and we'll throw it in the end zone. But they're stupid and they're not well coached and there's no attention to detail. And that was the perfect example. That timeout cost them. They should have been kicking or going for the game-winning field goal at the end of regulation. Their special teams, the Packers, still a joke.
Atrocious.
How was that kick coverage?
So the kick coverage to me in particular is as bad as I've ever seen. And the one that really stuck out to me was the one in overtime.
You gave it to him at the 50.
Where and again, so Marcus Jones had a 20-yard return on that kick.
Yes.
With all due respect, because he had a good game, I could have gotten 20 yards on that punt return.
I don't even know if he made a cut.
All he had to do, the area in front of him was unbelievably huge. Huge. There was no, I looked at it and said, how the hell is nobody down the field on this? There was, and Mike, it was a 43-yard punt. It's not like it was a 70-yard kick or a 65-yard kick. They didn't have that far to go. 43 yards. Their coverage is horrible. Horrible. And his kickoff returns were good all day, Marcus Jones. So, like, their coverage teams blow.
This new special teams coach, give me a break. And I don't care if he's teaching, like, technique and all this stuff. It's situational. I mentioned this last week in Tampa. They had the Tampa Bay punter kicking off of his end line at the back of his end zone. It's a simple call there. No penalties. The call is no penalties. If you just don't commit a penalty there, you're getting the ball at the 40, 35. You're all, like, automatically in field goal range if you just don't block someone in the back or run into the kicker. It's all you have to do there. And the Packers against the Buccaneers did both. They ran into the kicker and they blocked somebody in the back. And they went from the Tampa 35 to their 35. Cost them 3 points because it was just... And that, to me, is the head coach. It's not the special teams coach because I expect the special teams coach to be a dunce. He's just running guys to run down the field. That's the head coach to say situation, time, game, the time on the clock, the down and distance, the situation. Here's the situation. No penalties. And you walk down the sidelines and you face the dummies who are about to come on the field and you say no penalties. But he's too busy cheerleading. He's too busy, you know, getting the crowd up.
Yeah, he's just too offensive-minded. His head is in those play calls, and that's really it. He doesn't run a tight ship there. It's pretty evident. He's too concerned whether or not his ass looks good in the tight pants.
Definitely.
Pumping up the crowd.
He doesn't run the team. Real quick, I think the defensive also, even though Matt LaFleur is an offensive coach, as a head coach, it's your job to have a general sort of approach. And so if I were the head coach of the Packers yesterday, and it was clear what the Patriots were doing with Bailey Zappe, I'd walk down the field to my defensive coordinator and say, Joe Barry, I guess that's the defensive coordinator. Why don't we just put 8 guys in the box and take away the run and see if this kid can throw the ball down the field? Like, is it that hard? Like, what does that take? Don't let them run. I don't care how crappy we are against stopping the run. If you put enough guys in the box, you'll stop the run. So load up the box. Don't let them run the ball. And let's see if the kid can throw it down the field against man-to-man coverage. And if he can, then we'll lay off. But why don't we take the run away from them instead of letting them run the ball right down our schmenzer all day long? Is that, like, as a Packer fan, it's so freaking maddening.
No, I can understand why. Again, the special teams one would drive me more bananas.
Because but why are you letting them run when they have no quarterback?
Okay, so because in their minds, you know, they're going to be up 31-7 in most games anyway, run all you want.
Well, no, that's as an overall team approach. But now,
yeah, but in that situation.
Now I'm in the middle of the game, and it's their third-string quarterback who's 5'0", and they're running the ball every play. Load up the box, take away the run, and then see if the kid can throw it down the field. If he starts hitting you down the field in the passing game, then adjust. But take away the run.
That drive where the Patriots got to 24, they could do whatever they want with the running game.
They
that
really
was
could.
I looked at them like, are they going to try to stop this at all? Oh,
they did. They gashed them.
Just horrible. And the crap on offense, when they're faced with press coverage on the outside, that approach to just chuck it up down the field is just ridiculous. Why don't you, now this is what you do, you little twerp. Why don't you draw up some man beaters or some pick plays or something to beat man coverage? As opposed to just letting your guys run down the field and have Aaron Rodgers off his back foot chuck it 30 yards down the field. And they actually hit one that got him going in the third quarter, but just because it was an incredible throw and catch. Jonathan Jones was all over him. I think he was holding him on the play, actually. But either way, it's like, that. You say they pulled that out of their ass, and that's what got the Packers going. But, like, I don't know, when they press you at the line, can you do something to get them open running across the field? As opposed to just those no-shot deep balls? Over and over and over again? Oh, it's brutal.
Those plays drove me bananas. I thought, like, oh, holy crap, all they do is chuck it up down the sideline. I told you, it's like a Matt Patricia offense.
So those are some itches. I just had to scratch them. Thank you. We will reset our top thoughts with your calls after Murray gets you updated. 90 seconds, no commercial.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.